what it's all about.
Folks, Andy Kindler is in the studio. He is performing and has been performing at the Just for Laughs Toronto Comedy Festival, JFL 42, I believe. And he's been doing the closing thing.
The alternative comedy
show. The alternative comedy show.
11 o'clock every night.
Like tonight even.
At the Comedy
but
Bar.
But nobody can get it. Why am I promoting this? Every night it's sold out.
Well, I was the reason why we were promoting it was I was hoping the festival would provide transportation.
But no, that's not.
No, but the train's lovely. And they don't even check. It's Canada. They don't even check.
They didn't check for the ticket?
No.
When was the last time? Like, people go, Andy Kindler, David Letterman, that's, you know, but you haven't been on that forever, right? People don't care about you anymore.
Oh, no, but that's a nice way to intro it. No, I was on in May. In fact, I am very proud.
You were on David Letterman in May? Are you going to be on his last show?
Yes, I'm going to be on his last show. I'm going to sing like Bette Midler sang to him. No. I did a spot in May and normally I will be the first one to say when I'm bombed. I am more proud of this than anything I've done. You can find it on YouTube or whatever the hell you have in Canada. Can I say hell? Or whatever you have in Canada.
Yes.
What
only
is it called?
You mean Hades.
YouTube.com.
Yeah.
And then say Letterman, Kindler, May, and prepare. Keep your socks. Hold on to your socks.
Right.
Otherwise, I would blow them off.
Okay. Let's go into our pub crawl, because we've got two gentlemen waiting on the phone for us. And, folks, this is going to be an interesting conversation. One, you may want to... what was it with your socks? What do you do again?
Hold on to your socks.
Hold on to the socks.
So we don't knock them off. That's what it is. Not blow them off. Knock them off.
We've just been chatting with Andy Kindler, andykindler.com. Also on our phone lines at this particular moment is one of my favorite broadcasters, authors, Tariq Fatah. He is the founder of the Muslim Canadian Congress. This guy, I actually signed up for the Ideas City. Moses Neimer puts on the Ideas City Festival, which is like Ted North. And I signed up for this thing just to hear Tariq speak. And he was the first standing ovation that crowd gave.
Whoa.
Tariq, good to have you back, buddy.
Well, thank you for having me.
Listen, even though I love you so much, I still never know how to pronounce your name. Is it Tariq or Tariq?
Anyway, it's fine as long as you... are comfortable with it.
Okay, so Tariq, and then we're going to... Yeah. Is it Fatah or Fatah?
As in the terrorist group.
Right. Fatah. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Now,
as in the terrorist group.
Thank you for that comparison. TarikFatah.com. If you can figure out how to spell it, you deserve to read his stuff. Hemant Mehta. Hemant, it's one of the hardest names ever to say in show business. The friendly atheist. Hemant, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Hemant, this is Tariq. Tariq, this is Andy. Andy, this is Hemant. Hemant, this is Andy. Andy, this is Tariq.
A pleasure to meet all of you. Even the atheist.
Even the atheist. So listen, guys, we're the guy on the phone with the accent is Tariq. The guy on the phone with the atheist sounding answers is the atheist. That's Hemant. And then the loud guy in the studio is Andy Kindler. Guys, let's get right into maybe a bit of a background check on all of y'all, if you don't mind. What did each of you grow up believing? Let's talk with Hemant first, because you know you believe in nothing now. When you're growing up, did your family have something that they bought into?
Yeah, my family brought me up in Jainism, J-A-I-N, and it's an Indian religion that basically, more than anything else, preaches nonviolence, which is great. I mean, you believe that you shouldn't hurt anything else, any living being, even in your mind. You shouldn't think bad thoughts. But the reason I separated from Jainism is because they also believed in heaven and hell and karma and reincarnation, and those were ideas I couldn't get behind.
Now, what about you, Andy? What did you grow up? Oh, that's why I did it. Andy just took a bite. I'm like a dentist.
I'm ready
so,
to go.
So, how was your holidays, sir?
I grew up as a Reformed Jewish person, which means I got beaten up by the Orthodox for not wearing a yarmulke. No, I'm just kidding. No, I grew up a Reformed Jewish person. I got bar mitzvahed, and I exited. And the first time I ever got censored was I got to write my own bar mitzvah speech. And at the end of the speech, I said, it doesn't matter whether you're black or white, rich or poor, just as long as you're Jewish. I thought that was a joke. And then the rabbi corrected that to a good person.
Yes.
And that's when the thing is, if you grew up Jewish, Lenny Bruce talked about that, where he was jealous of Christians because they grew up with an actual image of God. Jews, we don't really... Well, I didn't grow up with actual image of anything.
No. What do you have, a burning bush? You have pictures of burning bushes on your wall?
No, and my parents weren't really that into it anyway. My dad's agnostic now. My mother, when I was 16, she converted and became a Quaker, which is a great a great religion. But so I grew up not really believing in much, and then but not really being told anything right. strict.
Okay, Tarek Fatah, what did you grow up believing in your childhood?
Well, I grew up being a Muslim. I'm the one who took care of the Jew and the Jain and the Christians.
What do you mean you took care of them?
You know, I kill you.
I kill you! What's that guy's name again? The guy with the puppets?
Ahmed the Dead Terrorist.
Yeah, that is the most racist act in the... Just was just put in the racist Hall of Fame.
Yes, that's good.
Ahmed the Dead Terrorist.
You don't mind jalapeno?
Get away from the microphone, will you? When was the last time you broke a diaphragm? Let's move on to this. Here's the question that I'm having a problem with. As soon as you stand up for something, you stand out. And here's my case in point. And Tarek, I want to go to you on this first. Uh-huh. When I posted that you guys were going to be on our show, I did a little tweet. My good friend, wrestling superstar Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, retweeted or replied saying, "God said that man would eventually call good evil and evil good. Well, we are there." And then in a tweet to me, he says, "Do these geniuses realize it's easier to believe in a creator than to believe in evolution?" And then he says, "As for me and my house, we will enjoy being in the minority. Besides, socially acceptable and politically correct usually means stupid." So
I don't understand what he meant by any of that. What is he saying? Well, is he saying that we're not these geniuses? That's not good,
that
right?
That was a tweet? Yeah. How did he get so much stuff in a tweet?
No, those are three different tweets. So the first question is, how did he get so much stuff in the tweet? So, no, my question is, like, Ted is a minister, okay? He's now a minister. And so he stands for something. He believes in something. That something has sort of definitive boundaries. And today it seems that, as I said, if you stand up for something, you stand out. And when you stand out, especially in the world of religious belief, you open yourself up to ridicule. People will immediately lump you into categories of you know, other extremists, et cetera, et cetera. So, Tarek, you know, you're a moderate guy, right? You're a liberal Muslim. Why are you not a real Muslim?
Because I don't believe horses can fly.
Oh, okay.
Or bushes can talk. You know what? It's very simple. Some people are fortunate to have ethics and morality built into the genetic system. Others do not and rely on religion, and good for them. But you really want someone to believe that God had a son? Or that he was dictating a stenographer to write the Quran. If it's okay if people believe that, but how does it compute to the general problem that humanity faces?
Right now, Hemant, you would say the same kind of things, but you're an atheist. So I guess, Tarek,
I'm not an atheist.
No, I said Hemant. Hemant believes the same kind of stuff. Doesn't believe the same stuff you don't believe, but he's an atheist. So, Tarek, why aren't you an atheist? If you don't believe the stuff that the Quran's talking about in a literal way, why don't you just chuck it out?
I can't be for certain one way or the other. It doesn't bother me.
Right.
I don't get bothered by my grandmother being religious or my Catholic school principal being religious or some of my Jewish friends wearing a tiny kippah thinking that taking it off would... I don't know what happens if they take it off.
Andy, what happens if you take it off, Andy?
I'm a Reformed Jew. I have to consult something. I'm culturally Jewish, by the way.
Hold on. Now, we've just brought... Hemant, we'll get to you in a second, but you just brought into this discussion. This is what I'm talking about. So, Tarek, are you culturally Muslim? Andy, are you culturally Jewish? In other words, are you guys just wimps in what you believe?
You want Tarek to answer?
No, I'll go with Andy first.
Well, no, here's the thing.
If you're going to believe something, believe it.
Well, no, I agree with a lot of what Tarek just said, because here's the thing. I think there's a small percentage of people on all sides of the issue, including extreme atheists, who are fundamentalists. You know, it's like if you've done any research into even the recent digs that happened where they found all these other gospels. You know, I do believe that Jesus exists, and I do believe that what he was – I believe – or I choose to believe, and I don't know for sure. I think what he was saying was that God is within all of us. Mm. From what I understand about Muhammad was saying that the God you see is the God I see. It's all the same God. All this other stuff, like saying you have to believe this book or you have to believe anything, that's all just politics, like the Council on Constantinople. That's all politics. That has nothing to do with the spirituality of that I believe there is a God, but I use the word God like Karen Armstrong does. I'm using it as something I can't define, right. And I come to it through music, through drug experiences in college, through meditation, through just the sense that the core of all these major religions seem to be saying the same thing, and all the other stuff is just nonsense about the rituals.
So just so we're clear, what Andy is saying is very, very different from what a lot of religious people would say is required to believe in their faith. I'm also very curious what a fundamentalist atheist believes, because it's very hard to, like, be very hardcore about your I don't believe in God.
Richard Dawkins, Penn Jillette, Bill Maher, these are fundamental atheists.
Books. Okay. Tarek, what were you going to say?
They make jokes and write books. There's nothing fundamental about this.
Oh, you're wrong about that, my friend. You are wrong about that.
Really?
They hate people no matter what they believe God is. They're not just saying, like Hammond said, that they only don't like fundamental. They don't want any. They call all concepts of God stupid. That's exactly what they do. And Sam Harris is worst. Because
sure
he says the Muslims are the worst.
Is, all right. Hammond, go ahead.
I agree with you that they would rather see a world with no religion, but it doesn't mean they're trying to take away anybody's rights.
Sure they are. That's what they'd like to do. Sure they would.
Are you saying that?
Who's taking away people's rights?
Fundamentalist atheists would. They don't even want. They want to stop.
Are you suggesting that Richard Dawkins or Sam Harris are taking away people's rights?
They'd like to. I think they'd like to.
I don't think so.
Okay, that's an argument I can't justify the argument because they're not currently saying it, but they are trying to stop universities from teaching, say, the Bible as literature. They're trying to limit other people.
No, they're not. No,
yes, they are.
I don't think
yes,
so.
They are. You guys don't even read their Twitter accounts. Read Richard Dawkins' Twitter account for about 5 minutes.
I do.
Oh, okay.
Read Bill. Does not want to stop.
Are you telling me that Bill Maher and Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris are not saying that all religions are bad, but the worst religion is Islam? Because that's exactly what they're saying, and that's racism. That's jingoism.
Perhaps you could let a Muslim answer that question then.
Okay, Tarek, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm a loud Jew.
Whatever it is, if your religion requires you to slaughter 20 million goats to please a god, and the other religions don't, then the religion that is permitting this on October 5th for a bloodshed that stretches from Indonesia right down to Indiana, then somebody's got to say that any idiot in this world today that sacrifices a goat as a way to please his creator is worse than a guy who says, I'm going to smash my iPhone as a way of showing my sacrifice to God.
Oh, because Christians didn't cause the Inquisition. Christians didn't almost murder every Muslim in the world. Christians haven't been in Iraq. Yeah, you're right. It's just the Muslims who have crazy ideas. Why is this guy saying he's a Muslim? He's not even a Muslim.
No, he's now.
What does that mean? That's ridiculous. That's just trying to shore up your white guilt. There's nothing else to it.
Well, you say you're a Muslim, right?
Muslim.
You're worse then.
Why
your religion
don't
you is worse.
You live in Afghanistan.
Your religion
why
is worse.
You go to Pakistan.
Okay, your religion is worse. That's all you're saying. The Muslim religion is worse than the Jewish religion and the Christian religion. Okay. That's what you're saying.
The rituals that, yes, of course.
That's not what Muhammad said. Is that what Muhammad said?
I don't know that. That's not true. How do you know that?
How do you know?
You have a recording.
How do you know?
You are saying he said that. I'm saying if you say Muhammad said that, the onus is on you to prove that Muhammad said that.
Do you know for a fact that Muhammad said that you have to sacrifice 20,000 goats?
That's what I'm telling Muslims not to.
Who's disagreeing with that?
But you support the slaughtering 20 million goats.
Now, come on. Drew, please speak up for me. I'm against fundamentalism. Fundamentalism.
Okay,
I'm against all fundamentalism.
Right. So let me.
Why are you being apologist about ISIS or the Muslim Brotherhood?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm sure you get a hard-on looking at women in hijab.
So
that's what you're telling me.
I'm going to withdraw from this part of the discussion.
Okay, so Hammond, let's just talk about. I want to get some ground rules here. You would, because you're an atheist, disagree in extreme fundamentalist stuff, no matter what religion. Obviously, is that an obvious thing? Yes.
Yeah, I think that's an obvious thing.
Okay, and Tarek, you would also disagree with any sort of extreme fundamentalist religious movements.
I would have no problem what people believe, as long as there's a complete separation between religion and politics and religion and state. I don't care whether somebody believes in flying chariots or not.
Right.
But as soon as you do public slaughter of animals and invoke that as your right of religion to do so, then I have the right to object.
Yeah. So what about, you know, let's talk about the most controversial group out there right now, which is, by the way, can you explain to me why they're called ISIS sometimes and other times they're called
ISIL.
ISIL or ice skating, or I don't understand. Why do we have different names for this group? Tarek?
Because white men can't understand what the hell is going on.
Oh, yeah, we can't understand. That's right. I'm a big ISIS supporter. You're exactly right. Everything I've said is pointed to the fact that I'm white and I have guilt and I'm an ISIS supporter.
No, what he's saying.
Ridiculous.
No. What Tarek is saying is that when it comes to the Western world, we're trying to put labels on things for groups that speak different languages, and therefore we are interpreting or translating what those groups actually mean in different ways. That's why we have ISIL and ISIS. Is that right, Tarek?
And Daesh. And Islamic State.
Right, right. So
I bet you wouldn't have that differentiation if it was a European group. You would have the red brigades, period. When did you have a pink brigade or a dark red brigade or a fuchsia brigade? You had the red brigades, and they blew up.
So, Tarek,
that's how it was.
Tarek, how do you...
These are exotic people in the Arabian Peninsula, somewhere out there, who we can't decide what is their name.
Right.
We call it the Al-Khorasan group, as if it is Khorasan... is an ideology going back to the 9th century.
So,
and now we hear that Khorasan is a group in Syria. Can you imagine how dumb we sound to the people we are fighting?
Well, here's... I just want to be clear on something here. I've seen you post videos in disgust. You have not been, you know, a supporter of this. I want to make sure everyone's clear on this because it might have been confused in the last few minutes. You have posted videos, and buddy, I'm telling you, I wish I'd never watched this thing. Not the beheading thing, But a woman who, there was a hole dug out in the ground, and a woman was placed in it. She was, you know, handcuffed or whatever. And then the men picked up rocks and stoned this Muslim woman to death. And you were outraged about this.
Yes.
So I just want to clear this up. You know, Tarek...
No, I would be in the front lines fighting ISIS.
Right.
But the way you fight ISIS is not by going to Saudi Arabia that created ISIS, take money from them, and say... Let's go and bomb some other place, show pictures of the son of the crown prince in an F-16 cockpit, and think that we are fighting ISIS. No, you're not. Saudi Arabia is ISIS.
Okay.
And that's our main ally. How stupid can we be?
Yeah, that is... Andy, you got to think that's insane, right?
I'm not going to say anything until this guy says that I don't believe in... That he takes back that he thinks I like ISIS.
No.
That's just a bunch of crap.
No, I think it's just a you guys don't know
I
each other.
I said nothing to have him say,
right.
I believe in ISIS. I said exactly the opposite.
Right.
I don't believe in fundamentalism.
No,
the argument is that there are fundamentalist atheists. That's the argument.
Right.
And I know for a fact there are.
Right.
Because I get them all the time screaming, just like you were screaming at me, thinking I believe in ISIS.
Right. So here,
you brought up 14th century Christianity to compare with 21st century.
I never said that. I never said that.
The Christians have their own record of what has it got to do? Why would I bring up the Gupta dynasty of the 5th century or the 6th
century? Just don't put words in my mouth.
Right.
Just don't put words in my mouth or think that you think I know what I'm
saying. So I want to give everyone a little background here. Andy, and let me speak on just your behalf. You tell me if I'm wrong, Andy. But Andy has been pounced on by a variety of people, and I would say the vast majority would be atheists who are slamming him, whether it be through emails or Twitter or whatever else. They've been viscerally attacking Andy for allowing people to have beliefs, for having his own beliefs, etc.
Just what's built around. I don't care what people believe as long as they're not hurting me.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so this is, and I've never seen you like this, ever. This is a sore spot for you, man. Obviously.
Yeah, well, if people are thinking that because I'm saying that religion or God has nothing to do with books or anything like that, so what can we argue all day long about what Muhammad said? But there are many, many good people all over the world who aren't sacrificing goats, and they call themselves Muslim.
Right.
And they're Jewish, and they don't separate into the men and women, and they don't have sex with sheep.
Why are you comparing these religions?
I'm saying don't!
Judaism?
I'm saying don't compare them.
Right. So
I don't have a clue what Jews do. I'm talking about my own community.
Yeah.
I'm talking
about your community. Don't pass a judgment on something you have no clue.
You don't know.
No, but would you be judging?
I'm judging people like Dawkins, Marr, who say all religions are bad, but Islam is the worst. I have a right to say that's wrong.
Right, Tarek, and Hemet, we'll get you right here in a second. But Tarek, you've got to concur with Andy on that statement.
No, I can't, because
really?
The current crisis in the world is not because Hindus have declared war or Jains have launched a crusade on Indonesia. The present current geopolitical crisis comes from one group of people that are Islamists who want to establish an Islamic caliphate right along, and for whom life begins.
Oh, really? What's Cheney? What is Cheney then? You don't think
Cheney
and Bush?
What about Cheney? Yes.
You don't think Cheney and Bush helped create what's happening in Iraq?
But they would do so. They're being paid by the Saudis. Why won't they do so?
They're not Muslims, are they?
Well, they are white people. They can be bought and sold any time.
You just said all the problems in the world are
American
from Muslims.
Ambassador, everything is being done by Saudi Arabia, who you consider to be to your ally.
Who are you talking about? I'm an Obama fan, okay? I love Obama.
Obama is the handiwork of the Saudis. What are you talking about?
All right.
So you're saying that Obama is a good... Okay, hold on.
He went and kissed the hand of the Saudi king, who not even his chauffeur does.
It's got to be awkward for Obama to have the peace prize on the wall right now. He might have to turn that around.
Yeah, but he's not
ashamed of himself.
He's not a war...
Hemant, hearing the Jewish guy and the Muslim guy talking here, is there any part of you that's going, you see, this is why I'm an atheist?
Look, my issue is this, and I can't speak for those other atheists, but I think I know what they're getting at. Religious dogma is just kind of one example of a bigger problem, which is people have beliefs that may cause them to do these horrible things because they believe it's what they are supposed to do. Atheists don't have those dogmas. Let me rephrase that. Atheists don't have any book or anything telling them this is what you have to believe. There are definitely, like, jerks who are atheists. I mean, and vice versa. I'm not denying that. And I think when Andy says, you know, he's complaining about fundamentalist atheists, I think he's just complaining about people who are jerks. But I've heard that phrase, and I have no idea. Everyone means something different when they say it, and they usually just mean atheists they don't like. But there's no plan from any of Richard Dawkins or Bill Maher. None of them are going to, like, take away your right to believe. They just want to persuade you not to.
Well, okay, except that I have covered a few stories on the show here over the years. For example, and I see if I can recall this accurately, there was a family who lost a loved one on the side of a road. There was a car accident, and so, like many places in the world, they put up a cross to mark where this person died, and et cetera, et cetera. And the atheist organization in that area said, no, this is public property, you're not putting up a cross.
Right, and this is a debate that I've had before, because the question is, a lot of these people believe in separation of church and state, and I think that is a good principle to have. But then the question is, how far down do you extend that principle? Because in examples of that where you're probably, you're not really doing anything that is helping that family, you're probably hurting them in the midst of fighting for a cause you believe in, I think... That's a question. Like, do you let something slide because it would just probably do more damage than good?
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that what fundamentalism is? You just never let anything slide. You always, everything's black and white.
Right.
Whether you're religious or whether you're political or whether you're anything.
That's
what
I'm using the word
to.
Fundamentalist. Yeah. And I was being facetious about the fact. I'm not saying Dawkins and those guys are actually passing laws. That was a little bit of me going over the top. But I think that they are I really think they're bad. I think Bill Maher is a bad person. I think he's a hate monger. There's no terrorism on this in this world that's going to be changed by you telling 1.6 billion Muslims that their core religion is terrible. There's nothing good going to come about it.
Right.
It's just only going to cause more hate, more you can't build mosque near 9/11, you can't do this. There's nothing good about it.
What's wrong with not building a mosque near 9/11? I oppose that.
I would love to ask Andy.
We exposed the mullah involved in that.
Hold on.
How much liberals were talking about that? You want a mosque at the 9/11 memorial?
Because what happened on 9/11 is a perversion of religion. Do you think it's a perversion?
How do you know that?
No, what? Let me put words in here again. So what I think Andy's saying is, it wasn't the Muslim faith that caused 9/11. It was radicals within that faith that caused 9/11, and that therefore it's the perversion of that faith that caused 9/11. Right. Is that right?
Before the United States or Israel, the two bogeys that we have today were created. Let's go to the 17th century. When the Saudis invaded Iraq, and 18,000 camel loads of goods and property were looted from there. You want me to go to how Muhammad's grandson's head was paraded in Damascus in the 8th century? Do you want me to go to how the Timur built pyramids of skulls of dead Hindus and Jains in India everywhere that he went?
So,
was there a United States of America or imperialism then?
Tarek, would you...
This is built into the system of Islamism, of superiority, racial superiority of the Arab over the non-Arab Muslim, and that is why Osama bin Laden could have functioned. And that is why today Zawahiri has launched Al-Qaeda of the Indian subcontinent.
So all these guys helping Saddam Hussein and deposing dictatorships and taking out, putting the Shah in, that had nothing to do with anything. It's all the Muslims who caused everything.
Yes, the Saudis are upset because they'll be propped up by the Americans.
But that's the Americans aren't Muslims. They're not Muslims. What? How could they be so horrible?
Andy,
I think you should stick to your profession. I think politics is not your area.
Yeah, I will go toe to toe with you on any intellectual.
Yeah, yeah,
you
sure.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Good,
my friend. Good. Continue with your fake liberal Muslim.
So here's the thing. Our Canadian listeners, this is what would happen if Fox News came north of the border, you see.
Exactly. This guy could work for Fox News.
All right, Hemant. You wanted to ask Andy a question.
Don't be so sad, Hemant.
Yeah, my question is a simple one, and I don't necessarily have a good answer for this, but I'd like to hear Andy's take. What you're saying that what the problem is that people are following this dogma, and that can get very extreme. How much of that is attributable to the faiths themselves?
I'm not a religion expert, okay? And I read Karen Armstrong, I read people who study different religions, and what I'm saying is that these things tend to be what I think are perversion, whoever it is, are perverting, whether it's Christianity or Judaism
or
Muslimism.
Or the guy burning,
so
the Christian
the
guy.
How are you saying about Islam?
No, what he's saying.
What do you know about Islam?
Well, I think what he's saying, Tarek, is that, for example, the guy I had on the show a little while ago who's burning Qurans.
Terry something?
Yeah. He does not represent, you know, the majority of Christians. Or the God Hates Fags guy who just died, Fred Phelps. He does not represent Christians. What are you trying to say again?
I'm saying it's a perversion. Whatever the religion is.
Let me give you an example, and then you tell me what is the perversion. All Muslims who are believers in Islam believe that Muhammad, the prophet, was justified in beheading 600 unarmed POWs, one by one, in the city of Medina. And when confronted with this, one can either have an argument that says, no, he didn't do that, and what's written about is false, or one would say that if he did it, then it is incumbent on every Muslim to follow his path and do the same thing. Now, ISIS and the hijackers of 9/11 say one thing. Muhammad did it. We are also allowed to do it because the Jews and the Christians are the people that God hates.
Right.
Now, that's all written. Now, the only other option left is to suggest that those books don't suggest the truth, that don't exist.
Whoever said, I'm not in favor of the books. I don't care about books.
No, but what I think, Tarek, what you're saying is these people that do horrible things, that is not a perversion of the religion. That is the religion.
That is the religion,
okay,
if you take the basic of the Quran and the Sunnah.
So why are you...
That Muhammad was wrong.
So why,
I'm doing right.
Yeah, why, no, but why are you a Muslim then if your religion is so perverse?
Because I don't believe these books even existed till the 9th century. They've been made up by the Arab caliphates and kingdoms of the 8th and 9th century that instituted Arab supremacist ideas. That is why all Indian Muslims have Arab names. That is why you cannot have an Indian name if you are a Muslim over there.
So
that is why the hatred towards Iran. That is why Turkish 600 colonialism, years of colonial empire in the Arab world, all these things are there. But then you have people who say, I don't know about religion, all religions suck, therefore what the Muslims are doing need to be understood in that. No, we are not in the 15th century, we are not living in the Inquisitions, we are 400 years of Reformation and European civilization that, including secularism, has come to a stage where we adhere to the UN Declaration of Universal Human Rights,
yep,
where the right to believe and the right not to believe are sacrosanct.
Okay, I just want to take a quick breath right now. Hemant, are you okay to hang on for a second?
Yeah.
Okay, Tarek, we're going a little bit longer than what I'd said. Are you okay to hang on for a second, or do you need to go?
I'm actually on the road,
yeah,
so you'll have to excuse me.
No, I totally understand, and I really appreciate it. I knew you were in the middle of heading down to a family function, so I just wanted to check in with you there, because I didn't want to, make you angry at me. So.
Not to worry. Thank you very much.
All right, Tarek. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Folks, we're just wrapping up the pub crawl here with Andy Kindler, Tarek Fattah, and Hemant Mehta. Hemant is the friendly atheist, and he's still on the phone with us. Tarek was on his way to a family function. He is an author, broadcaster, founder of the Muslim Canadian Congress. And Andy Kindler is a well-known comedian who has a few opinions about religion, and that's why, Andy, you and I first met at the Vancouver Comedy Fest. We were on a panel together talking about religion and faith and that sort of stuff. And he's been on the show a few times as well. Who was that other comedian guy from New York that we had on?
Greg Fitzsimmons?
Yeah. Enjoyed him, his input in this as well. Let's see. I just want to check the time here for a couple things. Folks, we may open up the phone lines in just a couple of minutes. 877-569-1250. That's toll-free in the States and here in Canada. That's the last call in the pub crawl. It's your call. So if you want to call and say something about today's pub crawl, this conversation we've been having, the phone lines are now open for you to call in. However, if you just like to sit back and listen to Andy and Hemant and I talk. Hemant, let me just get you in on this for a second. What did you just think transpired? What did you hear? Because, Andy, I got to say, I've never seen you fired up like that before, except when talking about
my wife has.
Carrot Top.
My wife has.
Yeah.
Just heard a ton of yelling. I don't participate in that.
That's why you're the friendly atheist. No, but did you hear, were they just, did they not get each other, or was there a very big difference of opinion?
Yeah, it sounds like they're talking past each other. I'm not quite sure what Tarek was trying to get at.
Okay. Andy, what did you think Tarek was trying
at? I'd like to get past that because I did not like anything he was saying. But can I just ask one thing to Hemant? Here's the thing. Here's what I believe. I believe, and when I use the word believe, I'll give you a perfect example. There was a comic in San Francisco, and his wife died. So someone said, my thoughts and prayers go out to you. And then the guy responded, don't you send me my thoughts and prayers, okay? So what I'm saying is that, first of all, there's no science in atheism. There's no science. There's nothing. People like to attach science to it. And the thing that really bothers me is, like, when you say you're an atheist, how can you possibly know what I mean by spirit? I'm a spiritual person. How can you say what I believe isn't true? You have no idea what I – first of all, I don't believe it like I'm saying anything specific. I'm just saying that if you're an artist or a singer or you dance or you have experiences, you sense something about the universe that goes beyond simple I believe or I don't believe. And how can you be right. – you can't possibly know what it is, so how can you say it doesn't exist? That's the form of atheism. I think most people mean by atheism, they reject the standard, you know, there's a guy up in the clouds. But when you reject every single thing without knowing even what it is, that's not science, that's not nothing, that's
Is that arrogance?
I don't know what it is. I don't understand
it. Hammond, what do you think?
Sure. So, first of all, to the guy who rejected your thoughts and prayers, again, I'm with you. That guy's just a jerk. He's missing the meaning of what they're trying to get at. About the spirituality thing, I mean, there's a lot of demographic, like the studies they've done, the surveys they've done, that show like 30% of people under the age of 30 in the U.S. are non-religious. Does it mean they're all atheists? No. A lot of them would probably tell you, I believe in something, but I don't use any religious labels or, you know, something like that. I think there is this ongoing conversation about how you can have this sort of secular spirituality, whether it comes through, I don't know, meditation or, like Andy said, music, something other, that just puts you in a different sort of state. But that's very different than the religious beliefs we traditionally ascribe to various religions. That's what most atheists, I think, would tell you they don't agree with. But it doesn't mean they can't come across this kind of otherworldly feeling when they are experiencing something amazing, when they're in the zone, when they're, you know, an artist or something like that.
Well, you're not arrogant. You're a nice person.
That's why he's Hammond, the friendly atheist.
But the argument I'm making is that I think the only thing I think you're wrong about is I have a direct experience with Penn Jillette and Bill Maher and these people, and they are not saying what you're saying.
No, but it looks.
They're saying you're stupid to have any idea that you don't have a double blind experiment.
Is this not as simple as those guys are jerks?
Right. Well, that's why I use fundamentalist. I didn't mean it as a real thing. I'm just using it to say any narrow point of view that you have of what you think. Because to me, I knew the Bible wasn't literal after I was 12 years old. I mean, to me, it's like, who would be having these discussions now? I can't imagine, except for small percentages of people. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, here's my question, though. I think you're conflating fundamentalism with animals, and that's the problem.
I'll withdraw fundamentalism if it bothers you. I'll just say they're jerks.
Oh. So let me just tell you about the Human Rights Tribunal here in Canada, where they don't allow certain things to happen on the air.
You can't use that word? Oh, I never used that word before. He used it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, did
leave it on the atheist.
Did we sleep him?
It's the atheist who did it.
It's not a podcast, people. Okay. So, Emmett.
Are we in trouble or did you break it?
No. Okay. As long as it's, you know, we're not.
Nice going.
We're not trying to be intentionally foul.
Maybe if you believed in something, you wouldn't be cursing so much.
Yeah, way to go. Way to, nice one, Hammond, the swearing atheist. Are we okay? What just happened there?
That was my knee.
Folks.
That was my popcorn.
Hammond. When you say you're an atheist, though, you are by definition saying there is no God. And to come to that conclusion.
I disagree. I disagree.
You disagree in the definition of atheism. You guys are
I disagree with your definition there.
Right.
And this is, again, I think different atheists may say different things. My understanding of the definition of atheism is I don't believe that God exists. No, I can't prove it to you. No, I can't say with, like, absolute certainty that.
Right.
But I don't believe there's any evidence for God. I don't believe in him. That's it. Doesn't mean I might believe in other things, sure.
Yeah.
But when it comes to that idea, no.
Penn Jillette had the same definition of atheism as you. And I'm glad we're clearing that out. And as I'm starting to understand, because I don't hang out with, by the way, there's there's an atheist chapel or something.
No,
it's
an atheist church. There's something called the Sunday Assembly. It started in England about a year ago.
I know those guys.
And they're just starting up on Sunday. Their big kickoff is on Sunday.
In Toronto.
Yeah.
It's a quote-unquote.
And what they're trying to do is say that, look, there are a lot of benefits to church. But, you know, if you don't believe in the supernatural aspect of it, can you still have everything else that's good about it? Like community, like singing, if you like that. Can you listen to, like, a sermon but like more of a TED talk, not a you should believe in God, you know?
Right, yeah, but I want to take back the word God, see, because I think that's where another problem.
We're
You're defining God. The word
stuff?
God means something that you cannot describe. And people go, well, that's all Webster's dictionary said. But the people that I listen to, it's like the word Yahweh in the Old Testament. I am that I am. It's purposely using a word that's describing something that does not mean something specific. So when you say you don't believe in God, that means – but you're still saying you don't believe in the specific form of God, not in anyone's – so that's why it gets tough
well,
again.
I don't believe in like some higher power that guides us, that created us.
But that
like
may
that.
Not be what all people mean by God. If I knew what it meant,
that's
what I relate to, I wouldn't – I would call it something else. I'm just upset that no one lets me use the word God anymore because people go crazy when I use it.
You can use it with me, Andy. I don't mind at all.
God bless you.
Thanks,
Pat. Oh, that's just disgusting. Hammett, do you understand his point about the fact that people are triggering on the word God?
Well, usually, I mean, I think Andy's the anomaly here. I think when most people talk about God, they are talking about a creator, someone who watches over them.
Anthropomorphization.
Sure, but that's what they believe.
Not most of my friends.
But you guys...
we hang around very different people.
Yeah. But you guys in L.A. are... I don't know.
But, you know, it's like what we were talking about before with the other gentleman. It's like, you know, it's like, of course, anybody who, what do you say, most people, it's like, is Cheney's problem that he may have a specific belief in? These people have problems that go beyond everything they believe in their choice of shirts and what they eat. But it's like, to me, it was so ludicrous to be saying, like, everything is he's a Muslim, but everything's not the Muslim's fault. But then it's like, how about Cheney? How about what the Americans have done? All of this stuff has – to me, you can – maybe God comes into it or it's specific ideas of God, but it goes way beyond that.
So you take heat for using the word God.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
And Tarek takes heat for attacking Muslims.
I don't know why he attacked me. I really don't know.
Yeah, I got confused too.
I think Hammett is afraid to.
I felt bad for his wife. She's
I want you
in the
to
car.
Back. I want you to back me up on that, Hammett.
Really?
You could have backed me up.
Why didn't you do that?
Didn't back me up.
Atheist, you're supposed to have.
Because you know why I get unpleasant. I feel bad. I don't feel bad about it because I think I was right to get upset, but nobody likes it when I do.
Because we want the cuddling, Andy.
Also, I've been exposed to so much like when you're saying things like that's not what Richard Dawkins is. You can't believe the people who are online who have atheist in their Twitter handle. I invite you to check it out.
Are they jerks? I believe you if you say they are.
Yeah. They're terrible.
Surrounded by them constantly.
Don't you think Dawkins is a jerk? Don't you think Mars is a jerk?
I think they can be at times, but I also think people want to make them look like jerks, so they will easily just quote mine them to use the worst possible tweets that they have.
I think jerks can do fine on their own; they don't need anybody's help.
No,
yeah,
no. That's why I have my own radio show based on that premise. Okay, listen, Hammett. I want to thank you for one main thing. I want to thank you for showing Andy Kindler that not all atheists are jerks.
My dad's – so many of my friends are atheists.
Some of my – the straight people say.
I even know
a gay person.
I'll name drop. Dave Foley is a friend of mine. He's an atheist. He says he doesn't understand why, if you're an atheist, why you should care what people believe. He's like – he's astounded by the angry atheists. Yeah. I don't know what to call the movement.
I can answer that. Why do we care? It's because in the U.S., religion has such a stranglehold over politics and policy. And if you're trying to convince people that we should teach proper science in science classes, that should be a no-brainer.
But why do they hate me? But these people hate me, too. These people hate me.
I don't know. I have heard Dave Foley talk about atheism, and it's funny.
Because he's a gentleman, that's why.
What?
Yeah.
Dave Foley's a gentleman.
Oh, but you said gentleman. I thought you were
He's also a gentleman.
Okay. Is that a Which tribe? It's kind of tribe
almost,
in Israel?
Oh, I'm almost a Gentile.
Yes.
Just speech impediment.
Sorry. I didn't mean to point that out. Hammett, thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Nice talking
to you. Take care. Bye-bye. Folks, Hammett Mehta, the friendly atheist. You can find him online. He's a very interesting guy.
Is that his moniker?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, really is.
I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And Tarek Fatah was with us as well, and Andy Kindler is here in studio. And wow, I honestly, in 12 years of radio, I've never had that.
You never had a thing like that?
No.
What do you think happened?
Even when I had Fred Phelps from God Hates Fags, people wanted me
to
do that.
He was more gentlemanly than me.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about that?
I hated what that guy was saying. Well, I really do. I'm still angry about it. No, not Fred Phelps.
Oh.
You're
not angry with what Fred Phelps says?
Oh, he's dead. No, that's a quote. Didn't he die?
So now you're not mad at him because he's dead?
Oh, no, of course. I mean, I spent most of my life, this is what's so ironic about it. I spent most of my life, you know, mocking these kind of people.
Yeah.
I had to take time away from that to go after these other people to defend just regular people like my mother. And you know, people attacking my mother because she's a Quaker online all the
Your
time.
Your mother's a Quaker?
My mother converted to Quakerism when I was 16.
Wow.
She was Jewish. It's the most wonderful. I mean, there's different sects of it, but it's the most wonderful. There's no dogma. There's no proselytizing. And all the I've cut off friendships with friends of mine who I've been friends with for years. They won't even believe. They won't even believe. Like they'll go, it's an Abrahamic religion, so it has to be bad. There, that's what I think. Hammond, I mean, I know what he's saying, but I don't know that if he realizes how many people there are. I don't think it's a small group now of people saying, if they don't even accept that it's okay for my mother to be a Quaker, my mother's not making the rules and government, and it does go beyond just the specific. We're trying to stop laws from being made.
Right. Right. All right. I just want to bring one quick person into this conversation just for a moment. You know, there is trouble in the world, obviously, and over religious beliefs. But the extremes, I think, is what we're talking about here. You know, we've got ISIS on one hand and new atheism on the other. Is there room for some sane, calm conversation? Not with Andy Kindler, folks, but with Andy Bannister, there might be. He's the Canadian director and legal apologist for RZIM Canada. Andy Bannister, I don't know what you're doing right now, but have you been listening by any chance?
I just caught the last minute, I'm afraid. So I've been dealing with a 2-year-old. So.
Oh well, sorry about your luck.
Chaos right there.
Yeah, I'd rather deal with a 2-year-old than an angry atheist.
Absolutely.
So what? Seriously, what are you guys doing these days? Can we just talk about this DVD series real quick? Because it sounds like it's a good thing to watch.
Yeah. So we've got a DVD series. Actually, it's a TV series. It starts on Yes TV on October the 5th. And then it's on DVD. The place where people can go and check it out is it's called Burning Questions. And so burningquestions.ca is the URL, the website. And what we did is we took 6 huge questions that we're particularly finding on university campuses. We spend a lot of our time talking to skeptics and people of all faiths and none. So we kind of took 6 of the biggest questions and we set out to explore each of them over about 40 to 45 minutes, talking to both Christians and non-Christians. We're obviously a Christian ministry, but we wanted to make sure we got both sides of the discussion. So you mentioned new atheists. I mean, one of the things we did, we couldn't get to Dawkins. We couldn't afford him, but we went for probably the UK's second most well-known new atheist. He's a guy called Peter Atkins, who is as vitriolic and as...
Oh, I don't even know him. A new guy who I can despise. How do you spell his name,
sir? By the way, Andy, I'd like to introduce you to Andy. Andy, this is Andy.
Yeah.
Nice to meet
Hi,
you.
Andy.
Oh, how do you spell the last name of this character?
So his
character?
Name is Atkins. So A-T-K-I-N-S. Peter Atkins. He's an emeritus professor of chemistry at Oxford University.
So
and he's pretty high, and he's up there with Richard. What I appreciated about Peter and the thing we found when we were filming Burning Questions, I'll give him his credit. He gave us time. He gave us 3 hours. He invited me and the film crew into his Oxford flat, and then we went at it. And for three hours, we went to and fro. I didn't think we agreed on anything. I mean, literally not anything, but it was good. And he was very able to come up with these amazing sound bites. I mean, when you watch the show, he just has these kind of little atheist one-liners just nailed down beautifully. So we wanted to quite seriously to take that position, take it on board. We also talked to Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus, Jews, and you know, as many as we folks as we could. So but hopefully, when people watch that, they'll get a range.
Do you have any clips of Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron with a banana, maybe?
Oh, poor old Ray. No, we didn't. Hopefully, none of the Christians we spoke to quite got themselves into the hot water that he did with that with a notorious banana.
You know, we were talking earlier about how it seems like if you believe in God, and especially if you believe in this is such a hard word to say, an anthropomorphized God,
mm-hmm. Right?
You're nuts.
In the views of the new atheist, is what you're meaning in terms of
new atheist, new age, new liberal
yeah.
Muslim, liberal Jew, liberal. You're nuts. If you
the liberal Jews wouldn't believe that.
No, that's what I'm saying. They would say you're nuts. The liberal Jews would say you're nuts if you believe in anthropomorphized God, right?
Yeah, I think there's a degree of that, and certainly I, you know, in the ministry that I work for, that's often what we encounter. I'll sort of say
start by saying the sort of stuff I believe in on university campuses, and then people will kind of, you know, use all various words to describe you, usually delusional and nuts and irrational. And I think part of the job is to gently, well, push back where appropriate, but equally to try and demonstrate, no, actually, you can be very rational and hold to those positions. I mean, the illustration I often give is, look, you know, I've, over the years, spent 20 years researching Islam. My PhD is in Islam. Wow. I've had hundreds of conversations with Muslim friends. I disagree profoundly with what they believe. I would not call them irrational. I would not call them delusional. I would not insult them. I say I disagree with them. We'd have a hearty discussion. But I think that's half the fun. I think, actually, when you recognize that the other person has good reasons why they believe what they believe. Peter Atkins, I mean, he has good reasons for his atheism. He's not nuts. He's very polemical, very rhetorical, but he's got reasons. And I respect that. And I think we can have a fight. Life is far more fun if we can actually roll our sleeves up and have a discussion rather than call the other person deluded, you know, and sort of exclude them.
I posted my video of the week this week was a clip of Terry Jones. Is that his name?
Terry Jones.
Right. He's got the pastor that burns Korans. So he's down in New York City, and he starts with a little microphone, you know, megaphone thing. All right, now we're here to tell you that the reason behind 9/11 was Muslim. It was just total, and they need to go away. They need to we're going to burn their books. You know, his usual rhetoric.
Yeah, that's right.
And all of a sudden, some guy, I don't know how set up this was, but it was anyway, or it might have been just edited and pieced together. Who knows these days? But this guy starts singing the John Lennon song, All You Need Is
All
Love.
All You Need Is Love, yeah.
And all of a sudden, 30 people are singing the song, and they're drowning out this guy with that song.
Oh, that's so good.
I mean, a number of interesting things going on there.
Of course, it was in the theater district.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
And obviously, there's a whole issue of Terry, and I think, you know, I mean, just hugely unhelpful contribution, I'm afraid.
The problem is he's so nice and so calm. When I had him on the show, I was hoping he'd be a jerk, but he wasn't.
No, exactly. But then the interesting piece as well, and it's fresh in my mind because I've just written a new book on atheism that's going to come out next year, but I talk about John Lennon's song in that, because that song has become something of a secular anthem.
Yes.
You know, great, let's sing it to the religious fundamentalists. But there's so many problems with that. I mean, firstly, it's just ludicrous when you read the lyrics. I mean, imagine a world with no money and possessions. I'm going to go, yeah, John, you died with a net worth of $800 million, multiple homes, right, and all kinds of things. Yeah, right, mate. And then I think second is the naive idea that if you just take religion out of the world, that suddenly it becomes a peaceful place. Mm. I don't think it does. I think anyone who's traveled or studied widely, I mean, I know you're pretty widely traveled yourself. You poke around the Middle East for a bit and you go, yeah, absolutely, religion has caused problems here. It's naive to say it hasn't. But the idea that you simply remove it, I mean, even if you look at what the ISIS guys are doing at the moment, yes, it's religious fundamentalism, but it's also land-based and politics-based.
Right,
tribal.
I'm so glad you said that. But, you know, I didn't even make this argument because I'm a huge John Lennon fan. He was reacting. It's a song. He's reacting in the moment to things. It's like saying there should be no war. Do you think he was against stopping Hitler? I mean, it was against the Vietnam War. It was against – so I don't even think if you took John Lennon aside that he – because I got the feeling he was spiritual in other things that he said.
I think he was. And I'm glad you said that, Andy. I agree with you. I think, to be fair, and he's not here to defend himself – I think his song has been picked up and used as a secular anthem. Nevertheless, I think if I was to sit down and have a coffee with Lennon, if he was still with us, I think particularly I would raise those couple of questions with him, because I think there is a responsibility for those of us in the media, you know, whether we're journalists or broadcasters or, in his case, a musician or a cultural influencer, to just think a little bit about the language we use. And what he did is he raised a great question. I think it's a shame he's not here to continue the conversation, but it's those who've used that song and sort of, you know, the Terry Jones example. Yeah, it's very clever, but actually John Lennon's a song, Imagine, is not an answer to what's going on in the Middle East right now. I wish it were. I wish it were that simple.
Andy, can I ask you a quick question? Is it okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, here's a quick question.
Fire away, Andy.
I'm sorry, because Drew's going to kill me in a second. No, because the thing that got me so upset was that I think there was false advertising here, because the liberal Muslim that you brought on was saying that there should not be mosques built around where 9/11 happened, which I think is, to me, that's a right-wing GOP guy in America. And my whole point was, I don't know if you read Karen Armstrong, but my whole point was like that these things are all perversions of the original core religion, or any book that's written is not what the source of the spirituality is. Am I you 20 years PhD in Islam, how far off base am I?
I think with Islam, things are a bit more complicated. And one of the big difficulties we have to say right away is Islam is not a monolith. And the problem is there's a tendency to try and make it that way. We know, we recognize that Christianity isn't, for those of us who are raised in the Christian tradition. Islam certainly isn't. It's huge variants. So there are millions upon millions upon millions of moderate Muslims. There are also quite a lot of more fundamentalist guys. Where I have a problem with Karen, you mentioned Karen Armstrong in particular, is I think one of the mistakes we're making in the West right now is particularly our Western, our political leaders in the West have sort of decided, they follow the new atheist narrative, basically. They've decided that theology is meaningless and we can ignore it as a category, and so we root around for other explanations. But if you look at the explanations that ISIS and others are giving for their actions, they go right back to the Quran. They go right back to Muhammad. Muhammad was trying to found the political empire. And the problem you have with Islam is that you have politics built in from the beginning. And so at the very least, you've got to work out how to remove that. Boy, have Christians got themselves involved in politics. You know, absolutely, we've done that and made huge disasters. I think whenever the church gets involved in politics, it's the church that comes off badly. Islam had politics built in from the beginning. So my challenge and my encouragement to my moderate Muslim friends is to go, I think, is it possible to build a moderate Islam? Possibly, but you've got to at least honestly address what happened in the beginning. I mean, look at the beheadings. Why are they choosing beheadings in the Middle East, the extremists right now? Where's that coming from? You're faced with a hard question, a hard observation. That's the way that Muhammad carried on. He engaged in political assassination. Now, that doesn't mean Islam always has to be like that, and it's not like that for every Muslim. I know many, many Muslims who have disengaged and repudiated the politics, but we have to have that hard conversation. In the same way that Christians have to face up to the hard conversations around what the church has done through history.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to be honest, and atheists too. You know, atheists have to talk about Stalin. We have to be honest about our history.
I just read an article on HuffPost today that said that the Muslim leaders are finally, and I mean that because I've been whinging about this forever, you know, if people are going to... We're angry with what they're doing, these terrorists, these extremists. Well, where are the Muslim leaders? Why are they not condemning their own people? And now they're starting to really do that. But ISIS. It took ISIS and the crazy stuff that's going on with them for them to finally unite and say, okay, hold on. So maybe this is causing the nominal Muslim or the liberal Muslim world to really take a hard look at what the heck they really believe.
And I think so. I think it may very well do that.
Yeah. All right, I want to let everyone know, Reverend Zacharias is in Kingston, Ontario, speaking on what does it mean to be human? I should probably show up for that, eh?
Yeah, you should take copious notes.
October 2nd, 7 p.m. At the Croc Center. Really?
He's at the K-Rock Center. That's right. I know, it's great you say Croc. K-Rock Center. Well, basically, what they've gone for, it'd be fascinating to see what happens. I mean, we had to find the biggest venue in the city because we ended up with about 20, 25 different churches and groups coming together for this thing, and they're thinking it's going to be several thousand. So it's quite...
Have you ever heard of this guy, Andy, Rabbi Zacharias?
No.
Very, very...
Oh, you'd enjoy him. You'd have fun with him.
He's a very... listen, this is my opinion. Very clear communicator, very humble man, very methodical thinker. He follows the thought process in very clear ways, and he's a Christian apologist, so he's got that agenda, but he doesn't lead with that stench of agenda. He does not lead with that stench. You know it's there, but he doesn't lead with it. Mm. The common sense that comes out of this guy's yap is his mouth is unbelievable. I should probably respect him a little more than that, but yeah, anyway.
No, you do great. And of course, you guys have got quite a history, I know, because I know obviously it was actually on your show, wasn't it that you and he had that quite conversation?
When I was interviewing this guy, that's when about 5 years ago. That's when I came out as I'm not sure anymore about you know I'm no longer a certaintist. I'm not even sure there's a God anymore. I hope there is. I hope this God is interactive and loving and anthropomorphic in some ways. But man, I can't be as certain as I used to be for 30 years. That's the connection between Ravi Zacharias and myself.
I think everything depends on your point of view, because to me, I see the stuff that Bill Maher and Sam Harris, you know, I see it as being so dangerous and it just feeds into xenophobia. It just feeds into what's that woman wearing the thing on her head for? To me, I don't think there's any. I don't think there's anything to be gained by this.
But the problem is not what they're saying. The problem is the pliability of the people who are listening. You've got these vessels that are, you know, no matter what they hear, they're going to latch onto the wacky thing, all right? It's just going to happen. And then the rest of the world is going to hear this, and they're going to hear it for what it is. They're going to hear Mar. Come on, people know Mar now. They go, oh, man, I'm not a schmuck, you know?
Well, except unless people love him, you know, except the people who love Dawkins.
Yeah. Sure.
But the interesting thing with Maher, actually, is, I mean, I've got a friend of mine who's a comedian in the States who knows Bill, and I think, you know, one of the critiques I'd make of someone like Bill as well, though, is it's a power play. Because, you know, Bill doesn't bring the people on his show who can actually engage. I mean, he doesn't bring Ravi on his show or people who can actually give answers. He brings on, you know, some poor schmuck who hasn't got the ability to engage, makes them look stupid, and then Bill points and goes, ah, that's religion.
You see how he dropped the Yiddish there? You see how he did that? Hey?
Yeah.
He was just
What was the Yiddish there?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, schmuck. Oh, I think of schmuck as American as apple pie.
Oh, really? All right, listen, let's give out the website again if we can and get people to go to what you guys are all about because that's why you're on the show.
That'd be fantastic. So the website we're really pushing this week, Drew, is Burning Questions. So that's burningquestions.ca. The show launches on TV, on Canadian TV in about 10 days' time. So burningquestions.ca, and if people are interested in Ravi and Kingston, they can just go to Ravi Kingston, R-A-V-I, Ravi Kingston, .com, and they'll find everything there. But it's been great talking to you.
Brilliant. Andy Bannister, Canadian director and lead apologist for RZIM Canada.
Hey, I love you, Andy.
I love you.
You too. Take care, guys.
Love Fest. Kumbaya. James Taylor's playing, so we need to love.
Always thought that I'd see you again.